might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Got a lot of work to do today, don't we? We have a lot of work to do.
We have a lot of bridges to build.
We've got a lot of bridges to build.
Yeah. A lot of hands to shake.
Yeah.
A lot of, I don't know how you people say it, like teas to crumpet or whatever.
A lot of fevers to pitch.
A lot of fevers to pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was some confusion between you and I earlier today over text message.
Yeah.
Because I always thought the implication was that there was someone, there was something wrong with the pitcher. You said there's two different kinds of ways to say the word pitch, which I didn't get at all.
You've been trying to trigger me all day, and I guess that's part of it. Yeah, there are two different ways to say the word pitch. You mentioned that the one of these films was dumbed down for an American audience with its title being changed.
Clarified.
What was it changed to? A baseball catch film.
A perfect catch.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently in America, well, there's some confusion about this because I went and searched for Fever Pitch.
Yeah.
And the Fallon cut.
Yeah.
came up. Yeah. But then when you click on it, it changes its cover art changes
catch.
To a
That's
perfect
a
catch.
Fishing, that should be called, that should be a fishing film, shouldn't it?
Yeah, and also, like, I guess, like, catching is a part of baseball, but, like,
yeah,
I don't think there's ever, like, no one's ever, like, caught a ball in baseball and someone's like, that's the perfect catch.
Yeah, and pitching is, like, a really good thing. It's a good baseball word, and it's also a good football, football a lot, and if I do need to
it's
refer
a triple entendre.
To the American
British,
version,
just say
I'll
British
say
football.
Football, but if I need to refer to the English version, I'll say football.
Say British soccer.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
And it's a triple entendre.
It's a triple entendre.
Because you do pitching in baseball.
It's a rare triple
entendre. And you play on a pitch.
You play on a baseball pitch, don't you?
And if you're like, you know, hot and bothered, you're hot.
You're at a fever pitch.
Yeah.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. I want to tell you about my boy.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Make space. Make space, everyone.
Everybody make a little bit of space. So
the young prince is coming out.
Cyril and I.
It's Lewis. Oh, wait. Which boy?
Cyril.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Never mind.
I just want to, yeah.
Everyone disperse. It's just Cyril.
Cyril and I are going on a big trip tomorrow to merry old England. We're getting on a plane.
Yeah.
I am dreading it because last time Cyril and I got on a plane to England, he screamed the whole way, I want to get out. I want to get out. And it was a 9-hour flight and he couldn't get out.
You know what my grandma used to do? Sorry, story within a story. Dad talk within a dad talk. Except this is grandma talk. I think I've told you this on the podcast, maybe before.
Okay.
But my grandma apparently used to soak raisins in rum.
Oh, yeah.
And feed me the raisin, like, let me gum the raisins when
that
I was a baby.
Nice. Yeah, and you turned
to
out
calm
fine,
me down.
Didn't you? You turned out fine. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah? I just passed a kidney stone last week.
Okay, that's good advice. So what you're saying is I should get Cyril drunk before the 9-hour plane flight?
I don't think it's like buzzed, you know?
Listen, last time he screamed, I want to get out, I want to get out, the whole way. It was one of the worst nights of my life. That's not an exaggeration.
Sounds terrible.
So this time I read like a Sarah's been sending me like a parenting advice
Instagram
blogs
posts
about how to like be good with your little angel on a plane trip.
Yeah.
And it says like one of the pieces of advice is like you should talk to them about it a lot like the week leading up. Like we're going to go on a plane, this is what it's going to be like and kind of get them prepped for it. And so I have been saying to him, like, so we're going to be on a plane. We're going to be confined in a tight space for a while, and you just have to be, you have to be good.
Yeah, negative visualization. The Stoics did it.
So I was like, you're going to be good, and you're not going to bother anyone? And he goes, I can't promise anything.
Yeah, he's his father's son.
And then I was like, well, look, here's the deal. It's a 9-hour flight, but it'll go shorter if we sleep. It's overnight. And everybody sleeps on the plane. He goes, not everybody.
Yeah. He's right.
So that's what's happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's
going to be a blast for you. Oh, and we have to record an OGIF tomorrow, too, before you go. So
yeah, we'll see.
Don't forget about that. I was trying to convince you to do a cheeky record from the airport. Just you and Cyril on the road.
Yeah. That I liked the concept. I love a stunt recording.
Because we're doing a little bit of it's an episode, this one.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're bucking the norm.
Yeah. I love a stunt. I'm always down
freaking
for
out
a stunt.
The normies.
Yeah, we're freaking
that's
out
us.
The normies. That's us. Yeah.
You're all the normies.
That's not nice. Nobody's a normie.
You're all normies. We're freaking you out because we're doing two movies.
I love a stunt, but that was a bridge too far. It's to like go to the airport with a 5-year-old in advance.
In a rig?
9-hour flight and like also try to record a podcast while we're like.
So fun. It would be so fun.
It would not be fun. Nothing about tomorrow is going to be fun. This has been Dad Talk. And today we're freaking out the normies with a great big show that's about two movies and then blow your mind. We blew your mind because you were like, they're doing Fever Pitch, but we didn't say which one and it's both.
Both. We did both.
Normies.
And one of them is called A Perfect Catch, actually. So yeah. Update your records.
Yeah.
I watched both. I just chose sort of to do like a little bit of a hatch order on my own.
Okay. Yeah.
And I went with the both canonical and production date.
Okay.
Second film first.
So your hatchet order. Do we call it hatchet order? What's the one for Star Wars? Is it called machete order?
It's
I think
called
hatchet order is what we made up for reading the Baby
Sitter's Club
books.
Machete order. Yeah. Right, we were. Ours was like Hatchet Man. It was like an ICP thing.
Yeah,
Machete Order.
Okay, yeah.
Is I did the Jimmy Fallon cut first.
So, folks, if you watched both Fever Pitch movies, if you watched both Fever Pitch and A Summer Catch or whatever it's called,
yeah,
in advance of
A Catch to Remember,
and you watched the Colin Firth one first, or if you watched it chronologically, pause the podcast and go back and watch it in the Machete Order.
In the Machete Order, it's important.
It's important.
You watch the 2000 what?
Farrell first. That's the mnemonic.
Jimmy Fallon.
Fallon.
What's his
first.
Called? They're both called Fever Pitch.
Fallon first, Firth second.
2005. Wow.
Do you want me to say that again? Because it was pretty funny.
Yeah. Say it again.
This is the mnemonic for how you know what the order is. Ready?
Yeah.
Fallon first, Firth second.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Okay, no one will ever forget now.
Yeah, well, you also won't forget because you can look down and read on the fucking merch you just bought that says it on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
2005's Jimmy Fallon vehicle.
Yeah.
And someone else.
True.
Someone less famous.
True.
Directed by the Farrelly
what?
Brothers.
Why are you not acknowledging Drew Barrymore?
Who?
Come on.
Oh, this is what you were saying before the show, too. Someone in the background?
What? What?
You said something before the show. You were talking about one of the actors in the movie.
I was talking about Ione Sky, who's also in this.
Yeah, Drew's...
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Whatever.
All right, whatever. Drew Barrymore erasure. I don't know why you're doing it. It feels like a bit, but I'll allow it, I guess, for the time being.
One of Jimmy Fallon's few, I guess that he had like a moment back at this point, right?
Sure. I think he was just like hot off the presses from SNL.
Oh, yeah. He always looked at the camera and he laughed.
Yeah. So we watched both of them. I don't know if you got to the end of that sentence. We watched both movies.
Yes. And then we also went to go watch the 1998 classic Fever Pitch.
95 even, maybe.
Wow.
And we're going to compare and contrast. If you haven't seen the football one,
Yep.
If you haven't seen the football
British soccer.
One, with Colin Firth, it's a very good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's great. Don't you dare. I swear
I was really
God.
Cranking you up earlier today.
You cranked me all the way up.
It was much better than the Jimmy Fallon one.
Yeah, and it's also a very good movie. And
I remember it being a real row at some point. I thought I lived in New York at the time.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a real like moment, a culture moment, when Jimmy Fallon like halted a Yankees game to record a movie like during a live Yankees game.
Okay.
And I thought I lived in New York at the time, but apparently not, because it was 2005. I was like a 10-year-old.
Were you? No, well, you weren't.
21.
No. Yeah, okay. That upset me, because I remember I was like, I had a job. I was living in Norfolk, Virginia. And The Red Sox won the World Series. They broke the curse of the Bambino.
That's what the movie's about. They talk about it.
And apparently, semi-fun fact, they originally they had to rewrite the movie because they didn't expect the Red Sox to win the year that they were making the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. The movie had a pretty weird... The movies were the exact same in every way.
No, very different in all
mirror
ways.
Like mirror picture, like mirror images.
Yeah. Completely.
You could not tell anything, like there's nothing about them that you could tell apart except for at the end when they become just two completely different movies and the motivations of the characters are completely different and
yeah,
they end wildly differently.
Yeah, and also the American one, which I quite enjoyed, strips out all of the meaning and substance from the British one, which is common, I think, with your people.
Yeah. I didn't understand a word of what was going on in yours. I think they were talking about British soccer, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, I have some ways into talking about that for us. So what do you want to do? How are we didn't do any planning for how we're going to do this, because we don't know. We are so excited about freaking out the normies that we never stopped to ask ourselves whether we should and how we should. And how do you talk about two movies?
Let's do something right off the bat.
Okay.
Is I think I am here as an ambassador to the creative arts of my great country, the United States of America.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm here to sort of like speak about and speak on behalf of the Jimmy Fallon cut of the Fever Pitch 2005.
Yeah.
And I will do so in a confident and maybe even belligerent American attitude and accent.
Good. Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to do my British accent to describe.
And then
British,
I was thinking for you.
Well, I don't
just
do
sort
it
of maybe
I've
you could
it.
Take step into the role of like defender of the
I've
Colin
hung up
Firth.
My Spurs.
Firth second.
Yeah. Fallon first, Firth second. I've hung up my Spurs.
It's good.
Unfortunately, I don't do my British accent anymore. I only do joke British accents now.
Okay,
but
I could try my best Boston accent.
Here's a better idea.
Hey,
no, that's awful. Here, what about this?
Oh.
How about you and I collaborate just to save time? Let's save time here.
You want me to do the British? Okay.
No, I don't. I want to.
I'll try it on.
No, I don't want that. I don't want.
Don't
that.
Want what?
What I want is for you and.
Well, I was gonna say as part of that. In my brash, belligerent American attitude and accent, I could maybe cover the sound off on the plot of Fever Pitch, the Fallon cut.
That makes sense. Okay, well, we can do that, but let me pitch you an alt here.
Maybe in 60 American seconds.
Okay, that sounds good. And then let me just pitch you an alt here. Maybe we can do both. We can collaborate. We can do your thing. You do 60. I do a tight 60 on my. You do tight 60 on yours. I do a tight 60 on mine. And then we can try to collaborate to come up with a version, a sanitized version that describes both movies.
Counter offer.
Okay.
Everything you just said, but I want my 60 seconds to be Texas sized.
What's Texas size?
It means I get 65 seconds.
Okay, because Texas Y, it gets an extra
off the grid, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, sure.
You tell me.
Fine. You get 65 seconds, and then I will take 60 seconds. You get 65 seconds to describe summer baseball movie with Jimmy Fallon, Fallon first, and I will take 60 seconds. That's all I need to describe normal British football film.
Yeah, Fever Pitch.
Fever Pitch.
Written by Nick Hornsby.
Okay, hey, I'm going to put 60 seconds on this big bad clock during those 60 seconds.
And then we do a sanitized version.
And then we will collaborate.
We drill down after
having gotten two blistering rounds in the ring.
Oh, it's like an anime.
We punch gloves together to show that
enemies
there's no
friends,
animosity after a fight well fought, and then we enemies to friends to take
the
down their Death Star or whatever.
To take down Sephiroth.
Yeah, okay, sure. okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, 60 seconds starting now.
Jimmy Fallon lives in New York and in Boston, and he's a teacher, and he brings school kids to a ad agency where he meets Drew Barrymore, who is a, an accountant at an ad agency. And they fall in love, and he's like, listen, a big part of my life is that I love the Boston Red Sox, and it's all-consuming. And I have season tickets, which means that I have tickets, like, apparently for the rest of my life into eternity. And she's like, okay, I like that, actually. It's fun. And then she realizes it's not fun. And they break up, and then he decides to sell his season tickets that his uncle gave him. Because he loves her, and she runs across a baseball field and says, no, don't do it. So he doesn't, and then he, they fall in love, and they get married, and they're now in love. And it was fun. It was cute, I guess. It wasn't as good as the other one. The one that Jack's going to cover.
And time. I only give you 60 seconds. I forgot that you asked for five more, so if you want...
Oh, can I have five more?
Yeah, I'll give you five more seconds. You can say whatever you like.
I didn't really have a bit about Drew Barrymore earlier. I think mostly I just couldn't remember exactly what her name was.
Okay. All right, that's enough. Okay, and now put 60 seconds on the Big Bad Clock, and I will describe the superior British film of the same title in some markets.
60-second burger run. I won't do it.
No, don't do it. Just put 60 seconds on the clock and lock in.
Five, four, three.
Colin Firth is a teacher at a primary school in England. And when he was a little boy, the only way that he related to his dad was his dad would take him to the Arsenal games. And as a result, he became absolutely obsessed with the British football team, Arsenal. And there's a new teacher at the school. She's a babe. And he's the cool teacher who all the kids like because he's into Arsenal and he likes to talk about football with them. And she's kind of a prim and proper teacher. And she doesn't like him because he seems like a football hooligan. But she then falls for him. They have intercourse and she becomes pregnant. And then the rest of the film is him kind of battling with her about whether his love for Arsenal is stronger than his love for her. And in the end, it's kind of a compromise.
Yeah, that's how the movies... were different.
Yeah.
Because in my version of the movie, the more romantic version, I will say.
Yeah.
They make this great sacrifice for one another. He's about to give up his season tickets, which I will remind you means he gets to watch every baseball game forever.
Yeah.
And he's been doing it for 11 years.
In my version of the movie, he's so bummed out about the way everything's going. I don't even think it's about her that
he just sort of drops into a melancholy.
Almost and then fails to watch the last 5 minutes of a game.
It turns out to be
quite an important game.
Yeah.
And the lesson of the movie is really, although a little bit of it is that he kind of tempers his fandom of Arsenal in order to start a family with her.
When I think back to the 26th of May, 1989 now, it's impossible to explain exactly what happened to either of us. Well, three of us, if you count the team. But I do know this. My relationship with Arsenal changed that night. It was as if I jumped onto the shoulders of the team, and they had carried me into the light that had suddenly shone down on all of us. And the lift they gave me enabled me to part company with them in some ways. We still see each other all the time, and I still love them and hate them all at the same time. But I have my own life now. My own successes and failures aren't necessarily linked up with theirs. That's got to be a good thing, I suppose.
The real lesson of the movie is that she learns to love Arsenal too, and she sees.
She sort of gets caught up in like the post-game celebration in the streets, and is enchanted.
I am sorry. No, no, thank you. I would have missed this for the world. Enjoying himself.
Yeah. I've never seen him so happy.
How sports can create a community, and she's enchanted by it. And in fact, it's something that I think is maybe obliquely referred to. No, it's not. I was going to say it's in the other movie, but it's in this movie. Her friend says to her at one point, talking about like the fact that she's dating this guy who like all he cares about is sports, is she has this whole riff where she's like, men colonize you.
Yeah, what else has sunk in? Do you know where they are in a championship cup and who their best goal hanger is and all that sort of thing?
I'm not turning into a moron. Okay, so I know that they're top of the league. That's easy to remember. And I know that Alan Smudger Smith has scored most of the goals, but it doesn't... I'm going next week.
You're going?
Yeah.
To a football match?
Yeah, I thought I should.
Ooh, I tell you, girl, you better watch yourself. You know, soon after Tim and I split up, I woke up one morning and I realised that I could remember his batting average for the previous season.
That's harmless enough, isn't it?
No. It's all a sinister form of male manipulation.
Rubbish.
It's true. You get colonised. Your native culture gets driven out and it's replaced by stuff that you don't like and don't even want to know about. I mean, they're like bloody missionaries. They bore you stupid until you cave in, then they fuck off.
Like, they colonize you with their interests and, like, make you care about, like, the stupidest fucking shit. And it's a funny
Is that true of you and Sarah? Is she a huge Washington Commanders fan?
No, nothing. I've tried every which way, but nothing takes. And that's for the best for everyone. Let's see. At what point do you want to talk about Christopher Lash and the culture of narcissism?
Well, again?
Should we just get it out of the way now?
I wouldn't describe it as getting it out of the way because it's something I'm eager to engage with and I'm excited to hear what you have to say on.
Yeah.
Okay. So can I just say that? Like, yeah, this is a time I would be... excited to engage with whatever you have to say about what's his name?
Christopher Lash.
Christopher Cross and the what was his last name?
Lash.
Okay.
And the culture of narcissism, and specifically a chapter in his 1970 something masterpiece of historical analysis.
Yeah, I'm ready to engage. I've got my smart guy hat on.
That's entitled, I think it's called The Degradation of Sport. But I was thinking about Lash as I watched both of these films, but mostly as I watched the first one. Depending on whether you're watching Machete Order or Chronological Order. But I watch chronologically.
There's essentially no value to watching it chronologically, in the chronological order.
Yeah, so if you're watching it Machete Order, it was mostly during the second of these films that I that I started musing upon the chapter in Christopher Lash's Culture of Narcissism called The Degradation of Sport, which I've been thinking about ever since I read it in high school. Mm. And I think in some ways this film...
I had a similar thought. I had it open on my coffee table. Just because I wasn't actively reading. It was just something I was reading recently.
Yeah.
I
popped
thought
into
I had
your head
a lot
as
of
well.
It. Yeah.
I think that this film in a lot of ways instantiates the problem and the duality that is brought up in Christopher Lash's thoughts on sports. Which I pulled some passages. Would you like me
Please.
To read them?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so interested in... What Christopher Lash has to say.
Here's what Lash says about sports. Among the activities through which men... This was written in the 70s, so we have to forgive some gendered language here, I think.
Okay.
Among the activities through which men seek release from everyday life, games offer in many ways the purest form of escape. Like sex, drugs, and drink, they obliterate awareness of everyday reality, not by dimming that awareness, but by raising it to a new intensity of concentration. Moreover, games have no side effects, produce no hangovers or emotional complications. Games satisfy the need for free fantasy and the search for gratuitous difficulty simultaneously. They combine childlike exuberance with deliberately created complications. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting?
Sure.
Isn't that interesting? And it's shown in this film because it's this sort of like man-child thing. It's this in Fever Pitch, the Fecund, Fecund, which is a more substantial film.
You're saying the...
I'm saying Fecund one.
The Fecund one, yes. Yeah. Okay. The Firth one.
The Firth one, yes.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. This relationship with his dad as a kid, like when he was a kid, is the driving force behind his love of Arsenal. And so it's this desire to get back to a more childlike, innocent time that only sports specifically can create. That's really interesting. But then Lash goes on to problematize this. He says this, commercialized play has turned into work. And this is about big sports and like agents and athletes and big money in sports. Commercialized play has turned into work, subordinated the athlete's pleasure to the spectator's, and reduced the spectator himself to a state of passivity, the very antithesis of the health and vigor that sport ideally promotes. And so in some ways, I think this film is about those competing dualities. Is sports a childlike expression of innocence, or is it something that's sort of that's crass and problematized and takes away from the family and takes away from the meaning of your life when you're an adult? And that's interesting. I feel like I've lost you. I feel like I'm losing you.
What Here's my concern. Doing?
Yeah.
I'm on the Wikipedia page for Fever Pitch the first.
The Fallon first. Oh, Fallon first. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm going through the Wikipedia the IMDb page because I worry that wouldn't it be kind of a cheeky little thing to like have Colin Firth do like a cameo in the American remake?
Okay.
And then we would have to just completely rethink our entire naming system, because I think if we're relying on Firth being sort of the centerpiece of the first Firth. Second?
Yeah. No, Firth is... He's not in it. He's not in the second one, right?
That's what I'm worried about, and that's what I was going to investigate. And you seem like you were doing a good... You seem like you were on a good track there.
Well, I was hoping to kind of engage with you on the topic.
Oh. I think we... Well, I have good news. I have good news and bad news.
I've pulled another passage.
I have good news and bad news.
Okay. I've got good news, which is that I've pulled another passage.
That's my bad news.
Okay. What's your good news?
He doesn't appear to be in the first film.
Let me say one more thing about Christopher Lash and see if it reels you in, because this is genuinely interesting.
Okay.
Okay. Here's a passage that I pulled. I reread this whole chapter today because it made me think of it, and it's so interesting. Here's what he says. The Dutch historian Johan Huizinga, The Dutch historian Johan Huizinga, or you were saying like Bazinga?
Yeah, Bazinga.
Okay, that's fine. Who anticipated some of these arguments and stated them far more persuasively, argued that modern games and sports had been ruined by a fatal shift toward over-seriousness. At the same time, he maintained that play had lost its element of ritual, had become profane, and consequently had ceased to have any organic connection whatever with the structure of society. The masses now crave trivial recreation and crude sensationalism, and throw themselves into these pursuits with an intensity far beyond their intrinsic merit. Instead of playing with the freedom and intensity of children, they play with the blend of adolescence and barbarity that Huizinga calls puerilism, investing games with patriotic and martial fervor while treating serious pursuits as if they were games. Now, that's an interesting description of
the XFL. Fecund. Oh.
Sure. Yeah, but that's... let me take a step back.
Which is back, by the way.
The question that is posed.
The 2023 season's about to kick off. Who are you rooting for?
I'm not watching it. The question that is posed.
Yeah, but who do you root for?
I don't know about it.
Who's your team?
The question that is posed by the
San Antonio?
By the fecund fever pitch with the Firth. Firth's fecund fever pitch. Is his love of Arsenal.
There's three.
Let me say the question.
Sorry. There's eight XFL teams total, and three of them are in Texas.
Nobody. That's not interesting. What I'm saying is interesting. The question that's posed by this film is his love of Arsenal, like, should it be allowed? Should it be condoned? Is it acceptable? Is it appropriate for him to invest so much into what's essentially just a dumb sporting team, a commercialized entity? Is it okay? Lash would say yes, I think. Would say yes, it's important. It's important that we go back, and it's important for these atavistic reasons of like reaching back to our childhood and finding meaning in without complication. And yet, then we've got what's-her-name comes in, and she is a complication, and should she just be treated like a complication? I don't know. The dialectic that happens there, the synthesis of those two problems, is that he still roots for Arsenal, but makes a little bit of time for her and the baby.
I'm not an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
But I imagine if I were, house that he finds is pretty cool. It would be pretty fun to live like across the street from Arsenal Stadium.
They find a house that's right next to Highbury. It's called Highbury.
Shall I leave you to take a look around on your own?
Thanks.
What is it with you? Why does it matter how close to the ground you live, as long as you can come to the games?
When I was a kid, I read in this program or book or something a little story about what used to happen around here on cup final days if Arsenal were playing. He used to have this procession through the streets, and all the women and kids used to dress up in fancy dress and lead the men who were going to Wembley down to the station.
Yeah. So that would be a dream come true. Wouldn't that be fun? We both used to live right down the street from Barclay Center.
Tell me the answer to the question. Do you think it's okay for him to be that invested in Arsenal as a man, as a grown man? Or should we put away childish things? Well,
what else does he have to live for? It's that or like the like grim void of life.
Yeah. Yes. And it's always raining in London.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I think that's true.
Like, you look at the TV because you want to watch something nice, and then you, like, if you ever have to turn off the TV, like, all you're surrounded by is like a gray void.
Yeah. And a babe who's your friend. That she's
sure.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's little lights in the void.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your family, your friends, but
I want to make a claim that all of that is lost in the Jimmy Fallon movie. In this movie, it's like, I think that the real love story in the Colin Firth fever pitch is a love affair between Colin Firth and the football team Arsenal.
In the Fallon cut,
and there's a lady in it.
In the Fallon cut, sports is more like the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's sort of rowdy. Everyone's like pretty familiar. It's like, yeah, everyone's family.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's having fun, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what he loves about it. And he's got a lot of like weird friends who like are really into his genitals. And I get it. Like, I'm a Bingus Butcher too, but
are they?
Yeah. It's sort of a running joke. You clearly didn't pay as close attention to the, I guess we should also say, you watched these films quite some time ago.
I watched them quite some time ago. So I've forgotten almost everything except kind of like some
thoughts, broad strokes,
the broad strokes, sort of a meta
and the
analysis.
XFL stuff.
Yeah.
Or whatever that guy's name was.
Yeah.
What was I saying? Oh, anyway, he's got weird friends, and it's all about, yeah, he loves his genitals. He's like, he's constantly cleaning off his genitals and like.
What are you talking about?
Sorry, I don't remember. It's not about, the second movie's not about, baseball is just sort of an impedance.
Baseball is treated as an obstacle. I need to know the genital thing, because otherwise you're just,
Coin
a phrase. You're just leaving it hanging out there.
His one friend is pretty like into his genitals. I'll see if I captured either.
Yeah,
of
I'd
the,
love for you to give me an example. I certainly hope that you did, because it's not corroborated in my memory.
Yeah, I captured one of them. Okay. At the 1 hour 18 minute and 25 second mark. His one friend, who I will try to as sensitively as possible describe as the bald guy.
Okay, that seems fine.
His
one friend is a bald guy in the Firth second one.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
And is it notable?
Yeah, it sounds like that we're finding resonance between, that's what we're here to do. We're we're critics.
Oh,
we're
right,
finding resonance
we're anthropologists.
Between these two films. Yeah.
We're like standing on either side of like the like Pangaea split.
Yeah.
And you're looking at like the back half of a dinosaur, and I'm looking at the front, and I'm like, well, I just can't explain it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and actually, I think that we promised that we would say together a version of both movies. That could
oh, we
both.
Should
but
still
say
have
this
to do
genitals
that.
Thing because it really is just hanging.
And
out
you really
there.
Want me to nail it, huh?
At that time,
His one bald friend says they're like he's been in a deep depression.
Yeah,
this is after like.
The
so Jimmy
do a
Fallon
bad job.
Misses. Well, I think he's depressed because he misses their like big, huge game.
He misses an important game, yeah.
And he's in a depressive funk. And his friends come over and start like cheering him up and cleaning him up, and they're all showering him.
Yeah. Okay.
And one of them is really focused on his genitals.
Okay.
And Jimmy Fallon says,
"Yeah, well, not the pride, Doc, but why are you shaving my balls?"
Oh, yeah.
And the guy says,
"Well, if you don't want me to..."
And Jimmy Fallon says,
"No, I don't want you to."
That's funny. I forgot about
And then
that.
Later on, I think he, like, handles his bottom in some way.
Okay. That's not a genital, but...
The bottom?
No. Sorry to be the first one to break this to you.
The bottom is certainly a genital.
Are you just fighting this out for me?
What is it if not a genital?
Please don't look it up. Please don't look it up. The Google police are going to come and arrest you.
Ugh! Autofilled genital herpes, which is fine, but it just means I'm going to get a lot of ads about genital herpes medication now. What? Here, I'm going to. Can I just?
What
can
did
I,
you?
Can I
say
this?
To me what
can
you
I say
Googled.
This?
Say to me what you Googled. Say to the people. what you Googled. Did you just Google, let me ask it as in the form of a question like Jeopardy. Did you just Google, is the bottom a genital?
I Googled, what are genitals?
Okay.
Here we go.
You're acting like somebody whose point is going to get proved correct, and I can tell you now you're in for some real disappointment.
A sex organ. Any part of an animal that is involved in sexual reproduction. Oh, shoot. Well, it's down there. It's part of the whole process, you know?
Okay, let's go.
It's like in the infrastructure. Wait.
Yeah.
Here's a genital.
What? Why is this happening? No. Do you want me to read you another passage from Christopher Lash?
There's just no way a butt's a genital, huh?
No, it's not.
I thought maybe I could. I thought maybe an insect.
It's not going to be fruitful for you to further pursue this.
Fine.
I'm telling you now. But here's what we can do. We're running a little late, but I do think we should quickly together come up with a way of this. Just for folks who don't have time to watch it, Machete Order,
okay,
or no. Just a way of describing both movies that describe
the differences are so subtle between the two films.
They're extremely strong.
But that I think this won't be too difficult.
There are massive differences between the films. They are nothing like each other. Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, let's say
a teacher,
sportsman, a teacher, good.
Of students, of young students.
A teacher of young students.
Is a huge fan of his local sports team.
With an obsession for his local sports team, falls in love. No, falls in love is too strong because that doesn't really fall.
Develops an affection for a colleague.
Only a colleague in the fecund way.
No, because they're both math people in the first one. In the Fallon first. And that's how they meet.
Developed an affection for someone in the course of his work.
Yes, perfect. But, and we should clarify this, and I think this is broadly true in both cases.
Yeah.
It's not problematic.
It's not problematic.
Okay. Like, neither one of them reports to the other, or like...
Should I be writing this down?
And like, you know, he didn't marry an intern that he slept with at a former job.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Okay. All right, I'm just going to write this down. A teacher with an obsession.
What is this for?
So that we can say it.
Sports yeah, and team. We should also put it in like a review later.
Sure. A teacher with an obsession.
We'll leave the same review for both films. That's
this is
it.
Perfect. A teacher with an obsession for his local sports team develops an affection for someone in the course of his work, but it's not problematic.
Yes.
Now, here's what we need to do. Now, this is going to be a hard part. I think what we need to do is we have to say that he impregnates her because it's essential to the second Firth film.
Initially.
But it's not true in the first Fallon film. So we have to find a way of saying...
Yeah, he gets her pregnant in the first Fallon film.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or she, like, is late on her period.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. He doesn't actually get her pregnant in that.
Right. So how about this?
Okay.
I think I can thread this needle.
Okay, yeah.
His love interest.
Yeah.
That's strong. It's not really love quite yet, is it? His romantic...
The new partner.
What's the opposite of a pursuer?
Quarry.
His romantically pursued...
Quarry.
Is so charmed by his enthusiasm for his sports team that she agrees to be impregnated by him.
That's good, except that in the Firth film, she finds his enthusiasm for his sports team to be a massive detriment.
Charming at first.
No, she hates it. She doesn't like it at all.
She finds it charming at first.
No, she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
She does it. She hates it.
She goes
it.
To the game and she, yeah, I guess she,
hates
she gets like crunched
game.
By the audience. Okay, so let's back it up. So this is a flashpoint. Well, this is the crossroads.
What about this? Let's just do a fiat here. His romantic quarry is thus... Well, I don't want to say impregnated because she's not. It's a false pregnancy.
And another crossroad. Wow, this is like branching. It's like
his romantic...
Quantum
okay,
space.
What about this? His romantic quarry creates an opportunity for impregnation.
Perfect.
That's great.
Related to... No, I guess it's not really related to the sports at all.
Shall I say thus? I was kind of in love with thus. So his romantic quarry thus creates an opportunity for impregnation.
Colon. No, not colon. Comma.
Comma.
While.
Whilst.
Whilst.
Yeah.
Inversely.
Yeah.
Being frustrated with his commitment to his first love.
I'm just going to say, despite a justified frustration with his commitment to said local team.
So far, so good.
So far, so good.
It hits
follows?
Tensions hit a breaking point.
Yeah.
And their fiery romance is extinguished.
But here's, we need to now say something. We need to now say something about the teams as well. So this is going to be difficult.
Okay.
So I'm going to say, so tensions hit a breaking point. Not
red
just,
clad.
Not just within the...
Red clad fans.
The burgeoning romance. But on the pitch. But on the field of play.
Yeah.
But on the field of play itself. Now, if we can do something with pitch and pitch, that would just crush. Because in England, the pitch is the football pitch.
Right.
And in your country, a pitch is the baseball pitch. And it's a different kind of thing. What about, it all comes down to what happens with the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say something about like the blank on the pitch is electric or...
But it's difficult because the pitch in baseball
is firm.
I know. So I think it all comes down to what happens with the pitch. We don't have to do the pitch.
It feels like we have to, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We'll just have to stay here all night figuring it out. You guys are getting a lot of dead air cut out of your feeds right now because we're really workshopping this back here. Pitch.
Okay, what about this? Okay, I'm ready for this?
Yeah.
One city, no. One team, one pitch.
You're familiar with how baseball works, right?
Yeah. But I'm thinking that it's like the last pitch is important.
I guess.
Okay. You do one.
I'm thinking. A pair is perfect. How about alliteration? A pair is perfect as the pitch.
That's pretty good. A pair as perfect as the pitch.
Do they? Can I ask a quick question?
Can persevere.
And I know you're not like a huge British soccer fan. I know you're like a casual British soccer fan. Go Hove Albion goals.
Yeah.
Hove Brighton. Albion
Brighton
goals.
Hove Albion. Yeah.
Brighton's first in front of Hove.
Yes, it's the Brighton Hove Albion goals. Thank you.
Sorry.
Saying it so many times.
Is there home runs in soccer?
No, that's what you're leading up to. A pair as perfect as the pitch that could divide them.
Oh, perfect.
That threatens to divide them. It's a little weird. We're still kind of implying that there's only one pitch in baseball, but a pair as perfect as the pitch that threatens to divide them must persevere
perpetually.
Yep. Okay, I think we've hit a wavelength with it. I really like it when that happens. Or else perspire. I was going to say perspire, meaning expire, but that's just a sweat, isn't it?
Or perish.
Or perish in the act. That's pretty good.
Sometimes you just got to find, it's lateral thinking, you know? Let's find a different way into this problem. Alliteration. There we go. We're off to the races.
In the end, the team does
a
good job.
The hardest way.
A good job, and they stay together. All right, do you want to read it? You want me to read it back?
Yeah, please.
Okay, here's what I've got. Tell me which fever pitch this is. Hey, normies, tell me which fever pitch this is.
Yeah, and ready? Maybe, like, I think let's retroactively say that this is the review we're going to leave.
Okay, yeah.
So let's maybe put a little review structure around it, too. So title.
Okay. Are you going to put, you're going to put this on our Babysitter's Club Amazon Prime account? Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
So title will be, let's just do another double on
triple. I think we're going to have to. We've already, unless we can manage a quadruple.
What about this? Relationship goals.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Relationship goals.
There is no goals in baseball. So maybe let's say relationship runs. Because you run in soccer.
No, I don't like that at all. My one.
Five stars.
Okay, fine. Relationship runs.
There's five no goals in baseball.
Okay, fine. Do you want me to just send it to you, and then I'll read it back while you put it in there?
How about this? I'm going to say perhaps. Yeah, you send it to me. Okay. Let me set you up, okay?
Okay.
Perhaps you came across this film listing unsure of whether it's the British. Oh, I should say.
The first Fallon film.
Whether it's the first
Fallon film or the second.
Or the second?
Second Firth film. Yeah.
Firth. And do I say film? Or I don't.
Yeah, film. Perhaps you came across this film listing unsure of whether it's the first Fallon film or the second Firth film.
Yes. Okay.
We're here to help you. We're here
helpfully,
to help you.
We've crafted this synopsis.
Oh, that's scintillating.
Scintillating synopsis.
Yeah.
That should work.
For both.
For
and then, can I
both
films. Make a suggestion?
And then colon. Yeah.
And before the colon, here's our pitch.
Perfect.
And we can capitalize the pitch, just so they know. Okay.
Should I put a winky after it, too?
Yes.
Okay. And then you're going to text me the body copy.
Okay, so here we go. Relationship runs. 5 stars, it's great. Perhaps you came across this film listing unsure of whether it's the first Fallon film or the second Firth film. Helpfully, we've crafted this scintillating synopsis that should work for both. Here's our pitch, winky. A teacher with an obsession for his local sports team develops an affection for someone in the course of his work, but it's not problematic. His romantic quarry thus creates an opportunity for impregnation, despite a justified frustration with his commitment to said local team. Tensions hit a breaking point, not just within the burgeoning romance, but on the field of play itself. A pair as perfect as the pitch that threatens to divide them must persevere perpetually or perish in the act. In the end, the team does a good job and they stay together.
Jack Shepherd and friend, P.S. We love these ones.
Yeah, that's good. That's cut and print, right?
Yep, I'll get those on both listings here. This one review that we've had to write for both films.
This one movie.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, great. You'll get that on to Amazon. What are we going to do? We forgot to take a break. We've only got 10 minutes left. Should I? Okay, gosh.
Let's get through stuff. At one point, she says, "Let's jerk one out of the park." Don't know what that means. Sounds so horny.
Okay. I just got what I'll say is
Now here, let's help me figure this out before. What are you going to say?
I'm just going to insert a break where it feels appropriate, and we won't take a break. We're just going to power through to the end, so we don't need to panic here.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah.
Well, let me crack this nut open real quick. My notes app has auto corrected Firth to Girth. So in the Girth version, at the 9:54 mark, we hear a disembodied voice that is his voice. It's his internal monologue.
Yeah.
Anthropologists have always had a hard time with football. The trouble is, you can only see what's on the outside. But there is an inside, believe it or not. We all have our reasons for loving things the way we do.
Which I've decided, if you really think about it, is a form of Deadpooling.
Okay.
And I think we do have to...
Oh, God.
...do what we do when someone Deadpools in one of these movies, except it's a little bit of a special case. Usually when someone Deadpools in one of these movies...
Yeah, we bring out our...
They've invited themselves into our reality by addressing us directly.
Yeah.
So what we do is invite ourselves into their reality.
Yes, that's what happens.
Creating roles for ourselves.
I'll plus that. Well, we already have roles for ourselves. We have characters who go, and they have names. No, their names are Totes.
Oh, yes.
We created characters. So
yeah,
you really put us in a pickle.
Yeah, what were their names? They were good.
My guy is called Totes Schwimmbad.
Oh, and mine's...
It's like similar to that.
It's like Tot Schwimmbad or something like that.
Yeah, well, I can plus you up on this. Do you want me to plus you up on this?
Yeah, if you think there's room for it.
I'll just say that in the first Fallon fever pitch, there's a moment when Stephen King throws out the first pitch and the announcer says,
"Ladies and gentlemen, throwing out the first ball today, New England's own Stephen King."
Oh, okay.
And as we know, Stephen King is a character in the multiple universe spanning Dark Tower universe. Therefore, the Fallon first fever pitch movie exists in the Dark Tower
universe. Dark Tower universe. And then,
which is a multiverse, which is famously a multiverse. And so you can...
Tote and Tot are going to have to, I guess, find themselves in the Dark Tower universe.
So Totes and Tot, yeah, can be gunslingers, I think.
Okay, yes. And we've forgotten the face of our fathers.
We've forgotten the face of our fathers, and we've got cowboy hats and six shooters.
Well, and keep in mind that this is all an internal monologue in Colin Firth's head, so he's just imagining us this way.
Yeah, okay. And what are we doing? So it's similar to what Stephen King did in the first Fallon movie.
Let's think about it.
We're going to kick out the first ball at the football match.
I was going to say, let's think about what Colin Firth's character in this film would be thinking about.
That's what it is, right?
So we're both sort of like Wild West gunslingers.
Yeah.
And we're there to kick out the first ball.
Kick out the first ball at the football pitch.
And probably sing the national anthem, right?
God Save the Queen, yeah.
King.
Not at the time.
Right. Famously. I just don't think you're allowed to say that anymore because I think it's the king now.
Yeah.
They're very strict about this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So our guys now
They're invited into the fever pitch. The second fever pitch.
The Arsenal
at
Highbury Park.
Yeah.
To kick out the ceremonial first kick.
Yeah, which is famous in England that you do on the pitch. Yeah.
And we both have six shooters.
Yeah.
And we're both sort of like Wild West cowboys with big slickers on.
Yeah.
Like big dusters.
Yeah.
And this is all in a sort of fantastical daydream that Colin Firth is having.
Yeah, and it's beautiful.
Okay.
And then they'll just put that in the movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah. Put that in the movie.
Yeah. I'm shocked. I don't know what listeners think, but I think I understand what these guys do.
Yes,
I'm surprised at myself that I understand what these guys do.
Yeah, I think this is a bit I introduced, and I'm just starting to like really get my head around it.
Yeah, it's complicated.
But I'm glad to have you as kind of like holding my hand and like, you know, pulling me along.
It's frightening.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what multiverse travel is. Do you want to do a really quick on the one hand segment? Super fast?
Yeah.
Okay. Tanner, Arbiter Tanner, please, quickly. Tanner, we're in a big hurry.
Hello, Jack. It's me, Arbiter Tanner, and I'm here to dispense kisses.
We got so caught up talking about these two movies and talking about Christopher Lash and having a nice time that we forgot to take a break and everything, and the whole schedule is torn to shreds. And
tell
so,
me about it. I just came here from the fucking far future,
yeah,
Jack.
It's a mess out there from what all I've been hearing.
You're telling me.
Yeah. So we brought you here to do the quickest version of a segment that I like to call On the One Hand, where we talk about different Rotten Tomatoes reviews of the films.
Okay.
In this case, it's two films. It's the do you have this in the future? We call it the first Fallon film and the feckin' Firth film. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. Yeah. There was... Well, it's really complicated, but a long time ago, there was like a huge like virus wiped out everyone on Earth.
Okay.
A whole state religion was formed around a podcast about the Babysitter's Club,
yep,
led by two sort of scholars, two, yep, young women named Michaela and Lakeland.
Yeah, I remember that.
That has sort of like evolved into a whole system of government. There's, right, like the enforcers like me, the arbiters,
yeah,
and these mega cities. They're in the desert, and there's walls around the megacities, and then outside of the walls is just like a wasteland, and there's vampires.
Zombies and stuff, yeah.
It's like Priest.
Yeah.
And then all of that is to say, let's see if I can remember. Yes. At one point, when we were sort of unearthing the tombs.
Yeah.
To see if we could find anything more about this mythology that we, yeah, all sort of like built our whole existence around.
Yeah.
People were wearing a lot of merch that said Fallon First. A lot of these like mummies, oh, right, and corpses and stuff.
Fallon First.
We're wearing this merch.
Firth Feckin'.
That said Fallon First, Firth Feckin'.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So this is answering a lot of questions for you. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I'm going to go through these super fast.
Like it's in like a museum now. Like you can go and see it.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
I pulled a number of reviews for each of these films, actually. Okay. Not as many as normal. So maybe in total as many as normal. I'm going to try to go through them fairly fast.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Which one do you want me to do? What's the order? Fallon First. Okay, so this is for the Fallon First film.
What if we just don't designate at all between them? The films are so similar, as we've proved in our review, or that you and Tanner proved in your review, that I don't know if I need to know which film it's about.
Okay, fine. I'm just going to combine these things, and I'm going to read you... this is a segment within a segment we call On the One Hand.
Yeah.
Where we talk about negative reviews of the film. Here's the first one. This is James V. gives the film 5 stars on January 15th, 2013. And he says the following thing. I won't say which film it is, but he says, romance plus comedy plus baseball equals a great movie, LOL.
Okay. I don't know if I agree. I don't remember any baseball in the second film.
I just like that he said LOL. Meanwhile, Sam Y gives this film 5 stars on October 16th, 2007.
Sam Y's Ganji.
Yep. And he says, life gets complicated when you love one woman and worship 11 men. All, wow, right, Sam Wise, why don't you keep your own personal stuff to yourself?
Yeah. And as far as I remember, you worship one man. His, yeah, name is Frodo Baggins.
Okay, this is a segment within a segment that we like to call On the Fence Hand. Sandra J on March 28th, 2008 gives this film 3 stars, and she says the following thing. It was better the first time I saw it, but still funny.
Oh, okay. So she means, did she say it was better the first time I saw it?
I think she's written first, but I think she maybe, it's auto-corrected, as you would expect.
Yeah.
It was better the first time.
She means it was better the first time she saw, yeah, it, but she's still enjoying it the second time.
Yeah. Okay. But I do want to say to Sandra J, now that I have a platform, just briefly,
yeah,
it's not the movie's fault that you didn't like it as much the second time. You don't give a
she
film,
means that
you should give the film the number of stars that you felt the first time you watched it.
I don't know. Okay. Well, I don't know.
We don't have time to argue this out.
Don't tell her how to live her life.
On
don't
August
tell her how 11th, to enjoy her movies. She enjoys it the way she wants to enjoy it.
Timothy P. gave this film 3 stars with the following review. More like tepid pitch.
Pretty good.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a segment within a segment that we like to call On the Other Hand, where we talk about the negative reviews.
That was the On the Fence Hand?
That was the On the Fence Hand.
Okay. God, I'm so curious which one it was about.
Mark S. gives this film one half of a star on March 17th, 2008. He says, how many times do we have to go over this? If you come from Reading, you support Reading.
Oh, is that true? Reading, no. Connecticut?
I want to argue that we have never gone over this, and I don't know why he's saying that.
I think there's a Reading here in Connecticut. Is that what he means?
Yeah, so it could be either film. I think he's trying to do what we did, which is kind of say something that could be applied to
Oh, yeah, movie. And that's it took him a little. I mean, we circled that drain for, it felt like 45 minutes.
Yeah, no harm, no foul, Marquez. Steven C., meanwhile, gives this film 5 stars on April 9th, 2022, and says the following thing. There are some asterisks. There's a lot of tastefully deployed asterisks. So do you want me to
fill in the words? Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just going to fill in. I won't even say where I'm filling an asterisk. You're just going to have to allow. But I'm just going to try to make this feel like a seamless experience.
Yeah. What the author intended before he was censored.
No bitching cock, Sherlock.
Huh?
You suck balls. It's hard to think of a word that's like, that's got to end with ES. Penises. It's a little too male genitalia.
Vaginas. Ovaries ends with ES.
That's good. You suck balls, ovaries, and...
Well, I guess what's the third genital? But. So.
But. Okay, so I'll just read that with the try to see for one take. No bitching cock, Sherlock. So Steven C. says of this film, no bitching cock, Sherlock, you suck balls, ovaries, and butts. And that's all the genitals.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who's he talking to? Me? Who's he addressing?
It's got to be the film in some way.
Okay. It's not much of a storyteller.
I've got two more brief ones. Garen M. gives this film 0.5 star and says, I got a fever watching Fever Pitch. And I don't know. I feel like you stole that bit from the guy who said Tepid Pitch.
It's a slightly different. Yeah. Yes, I agree. He could have worked a little harder to distinguish himself, to rise from the rabble. But I worry that he actually got a fever.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a cry for help.
Yeah. Finally, JDB gives this film 0.5 star on May 2nd, 2016, and says the following. Worst movie ever, 0 out of 10, would not recommend teacher put this on instead of Dark Knight.
Why is your teacher showing Dark Knight?
How is that an option? Why was this an option?
Yeah.
Why was this an option? And then why was Dark Knight the other option? What class is this?
Yeah. And also, have you ever seen, maybe you should go back to school because it's not the worst movie ever.
No, it's fine. It's good.
There's far worse movies than this.
Yeah.
You ever seen Birth of a Nation?
Oh, I just want to tell you a quick burn and then we'll go.
Oh, I have lots of burns from both the films. But
I'll tell you a quick burn, and then you tell me your favorite burn. I will tell you my favorite burn, and then we'll go, because we're really running over time.
Okay.
Here's my burn. The girlfriend in the first second one.
Perfect. Mine's from the Fallon film, the Fallon cut.
Says angrily to him.
We've been seeing each... Well, we've been sleeping together for 6 months now, and... We've never even planned a holiday together. It's a miracle if we plan a weekend before Friday afternoon, and yet you know what Arsenal are doing for months in advance.
And then Colin Firth says...
They produce a fixture list.
That's funny.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
The end of the film.
Yeah.
The Fallon film. The Fallon cut.
Yeah.
1 hour, 26 minute and 3 second mark.
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore and all her friends are out at dinner.
Yeah.
And her friends are pretty fun and funny.
Yeah.
And one of them says,
Finn is selling Chris his Red Sox tickets.
Lindsay, please, let's go.
And Drew Barrymore says,
you mean like for today?
And she says,
no, I mean like forever. For $125,000, it better be forever.
And then her other friend says,
are you guys that rich?
And she says,
yeah.
And her other friend says,
why don't you dress better?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think the answer is that once you get to a certain point of rich, it kind of like horseshoes a little bit, and you just dress however the fuck you want.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the answer. And Edgar's wife is in one of these films, isn't she?
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed her.
I think she's in the first Fallon film.
Oh, okay. Well, should we call it? We've just sort of been using Fallon as a shorthand. Should we say like the Edgar's wife?
Yeah.
cut?
The Edgar's wife cut. I don't know. I don't have time to workshop it.
Okay. Well, do you have time? We just have to record a bunch of pickups so we can go back and drop it in. Edgar's wife cut. Edgar's wife cut. Edgar's wife cut. Edgar's wife cut. Okay, now we can go.
I'd like to thank you, Tanner, so very much for bearing with me. I'd like to thank the Bee Babies and the Baby Bees for bearing with us so very much. And I do love and kiss you all the time. I'd like to remind everybody, you please subscribe to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. It's fun over there, and it's also a good way to support our show and keep us alive. I would like to say everyone needs to go and join our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. Everyone's having a nice time in there, and everyone is very nice. I would like to say to you that this week we watched a film. That film we watched was The Fever Pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we're going to be watching a little film called Tanner, it's your turn to present to me three films. I guess try to pick something that I can watch with my parents in England.
Oh, fun.
As one, at least one of the choices that we'll
romance movies to watch with parents.
Oh, okay, great.
How about this? Here we go. Your options are Practical Magic, Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde.
Why not Legally Blonde 1?
Skipping it.
Okay.
Or My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Ooh. Well, I feel like I really want to see the second Legally Blonde. I've never seen it. I loved the first one.
Yeah.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding is...
I've never seen it.
Guaranteed to be a hit with the rents.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, yeah. It's a beloved.
Did they catch it when it was like a phenomenon back in whatever 2004?
So I'd choose one of those two.
All right, let's go. Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Fat Greek Wedding. Okay, that seems fine. So that's what we're watching next week. I've got two sign-offs for this because we watched two movies. So hold your powder.
Okay.
Until I get to the second one.
Okay.
And I'll let you decide which one is which.
Okay.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is American Tanner Greenring.
And I hope that you...
Proud American.
Okay.
Belligerent American.
And I hope that you find your...
I don't care whose toes I step on.
Okay, well, stop it doing it, at least. And I hope that you find your Highbury ever after.
Pretty good.
And I hope that you find your Fairly ever after.
Because of the Farrelly brothers?
Yeah, they directed it.
Yeah. I like Highbury better. It might be childhood friends.